Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. For today's podcast, we're going to be delving in to two UK small caps, and to do that, we're kindly joined by the team from Hybridan in their head of research, Darren Nathan, and the head of corporate broking and sales, Neil Pearson. Darren and Neil, thank you very much for joining us on the podcast today.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
We're going to kick things off. There's two companies we're going to discuss today. First up is going to be Crossword Cybersecurity, and then we're going to move on to Physiomics. So first of all, Neil, we're going to be discussing Crossword Cyber Securities. For people that don't know Crossword, would you be able to please give us a brief overview of the company?
Yeah, sure. Well, it's a good start because, you know, the trick's in the name, Crossword Cyber Security. So they're quoted on AIM, 21 million market cap, founded back in 2014. So they came to AIM about 4 years ago now, 2018, and before that they were on the NEX and ISX market. So the company really started out as a tech commercialization company focusing on cybersecurity. So what that means is that the whole rationale behind the business was to identify highly innovative products that have been developed in universities that specialize in cybersecurity, taking those ideas, taking those concepts, putting a bit of money behind them and dramatically rolling them out to the market and commercializing them. So they've been doing that for about 8 years now, and now they've got a variety of products and services based on that philosophy.
So we're gonna drill down some of those products a little bit later on the podcast, but I mean, would you be able to give us a bit of, you know, sort of an overview of, you know, the cybersecurity market and where it's going, and possibly where Crossword fit into that?
Well, it's incredibly fast moving, as you can imagine. It's something that, as cyber attacks evolve, they get incredibly smarter in terms of the way that they can hack into an organization. And that is kind of big, well, given the nature of the attacks is accelerating at a fast pace. The ways in which companies have had to protect themselves has kind of had to keep up with that. And that's made it incredibly hard for companies who have one or two products to really keep pace with that. Because if you develop one product, within a couple of years, you can be very out of date and behind the market. And that was really the rationale behind the CEO, Tom Alube, when he founded the business. He didn't want to be one of those one or two product companies. He wanted the portfolio approach to cybersecurity that was underpinned by the latest groundbreaking research in terms of how we can really fight against these cyber attacks.
Okay, so you alluded to there that there's an ongoing shift in cybersecurity, and that's obviously in response to the new threats. I mean, how does this benefit Crossword?
Well, it really benefits Crossword. I mean, that leads quite nicely into their products, really. I mean, their core SaaS product offering stands at five right now, and it's also got an established consulting division which almost acts like a triage for what kind of products are applicable for a particular customer, and they cover the whole spectrum of cyber attacks. So anything, you know, right at the start, identifying and detecting cyber attacks, then we moving on to protecting against those particular attacks, and then coming out the other end being able to respond and recover from any potential damage. And yeah, this kind of end-to-end approach, you know, from what I said at the start of the conversation, didn't happen by accident. The portfolio approach was very much front of center in that. And in terms of an example of one of their products, I guess one of their core roots lie in a product called Rizicon, which is almost their flagship product. And that was, I think, somewhat contrarian at the time when it came out, because it was very much forward thinking in its approach. The concept originated from City University here in London, and it's very much involved with assessing a company's supply risk. So, you know, if you think about your average company, you don't have to be a massive company to have 1,000 suppliers, say. And within this digital age of Internet of Things, all of these suppliers are connected to HQ. So the Rizicon product looks to identify certain potential hotspots in the supply chain through a dashboard and third-party scorecards. Because a lot of people just think as HQ defense as being the be all and end all behind cybersecurity. But, you know, it's, some of the listeners may remember that the US company Target had a huge cyber attack actually through their air conditioning supplier. So, it just shows that you can have the best cyber defenses at HQ, but if you're one of your suppliers is not really up to scratch, then you can very quickly, or the attacker can very quickly find their way to central customer data.
So we've obviously outlined one product there, and you mentioned that they have five main products. I mean, are there any synergies between these products? Obviously, you know, operating within cybersecurity, you know, there's similar threats there. You know, what's the thinking about having, you know, five products? You know, is there any synergies between them? Do they sort of service each other? How does that sort of fit together in their ecosystem?
Yeah, I mean, there are some fantastic synergies but between all the products and consulting division. Because I think when we're looking at the challenges of an enterprise type sale in this kind of sector, it's timing. So it not necessarily be an issue of the product. It's just not a good timing for the organization, or there's certain budget restraints, or there's personnel lacking in certain divisions. So by getting your foot in the door within a company's consulting team, it's then knowing when to bring in what products at that point in time, because it's very relevant. It's very rare that all those products are going to be relevant at that same time. And within Crossword's case, that the relationship between products and consulting has been very reciprocal. So a lot of consulting engagements has led to product sales, and a lot of the product sales has led to consulting engagements, because a lot of the cyber challenges that companies face is not just being solved by selling a product. It's very much about wider company adoption, changing behaviors, which can only really be monitored by the consulting approach, rather than it's a very big management consultant approach, just flogging you a product, flogging you a framework and off you go, rather than Crossword's approach is very much more hand-holding along the journey to ensure that everyone in the organization is aware about how to implement these various policies and procedures.
That's an interesting point that you bring up there with the consulting side of things, because preparing to this podcast, obviously looking at their recent updates to the market, the consulting sales is, you know, a fairly significant. In fact, the largest element of their revenue. But we spoke about the different products that they have. I mean, how does that move into the future? I mean, is it a situation where they hope to see the product sales overtake the consulting revenue, or is it something that's going to move in tandem?
Well, it's interesting, and I guess it's another good example of how nimble Crossword has been, and how, you know, small companies should never turn away revenue in any form that it comes, because, you know, the company started as a product company. But working with the company over a number of years, customers started looking behind the products and saw who was selling those products, and the expertise, and saw the expertise of those individuals and started proactively asking for their advice. You know, the CEO, Tom Alibi, he's been in tech for over 30 years. You may remember one of the first internet banks, Egg. He was CIO of that. He's founder of Garlic, which sold to Experian. And he's been on tech advisory panels at RBS. He was a non-exec at BBC, and he's now on the board of WPP. So very experienced in cybersecurity. The chairman Sir Richard Dearlove, ex-head of MI6, and Dr. Robert Coles as well. He was ex-head of Chief Information Security Officer at GSK and National Grid and NHS. So a hugely experienced board. And it is no surprise, given the caliber of that board and the senior team, that consulting revenue increased by over 100% last year. So, you know, that being said, we'll probably continue to see that revenue continue at an aggressive rate on the consulting side. However, given that there's 5 SaaS products now in place, and you know, there's been getting some very good traction there, and we'd expect to see that SaaS revenue start to come in to its own as that so that product suite won't be far behind. So it'll be catching up.
So, you know, going back to the products, looking through, you know, their recent updates, they've made an acquisition. I mean, in terms of sort of looking forwards, is this going to be a company that looks to grow through M&A activity and making further acquisitions? Or is it going to be a case that they focus on the products that they have there and looking for organic growth from those existing products?
Yeah, well, the guys have been, as you say, very active on the M&A side. In March, they completed, I think it was their third acquisition in 12 months. And they said they'd aim to have 5 products in the market by the end of 22, which they've done. And I think we'll continue to see that solid growth, both organically, which we've seen, and also by acquisition. And I think they have that balance right now. And, you know, they're very conscious that they don't want to stretch themselves too thinly. They've always been very clinical when it comes to making acquisitions, which you have to be. You know, you look at some of the SaaS valuations, tech valuations, albeit they're starting to come back. You've got to be conscious not to overpay. They need to be synergistic in terms of the cross-sell opportunities, which they all have been. You know, they've been bringing on additional clients to Crossword, and ultimately the holy grail of SaaS revenue. The challenge for small caps, and Crossword is no different in this case, is how do you get scale? And they've realized that they can't do that by purely focusing on acquisition or purely focusing on organic. It needs to work in tandem. And so far, they've demonstrably shown to the market they can do that successfully.
So they have a forecast of revenue growth for 2022 of 75%, which is a very respectable figure. I mean, is this something that's obviously a very high level of growth there? Is that something you could see being replicated in, you know, further years past 2022?
Well, yeah, absolutely. You know, given their current product offering, given the demonstrable, I guess, high double-digit revenue growth we've seen over the past 3 years, say, you're looking at the profile of their clients moving up the chain, looking at FTSE 100 and their geographical expansion, about what's going on in Oman. Kind of all the stars are aligned, all the building blocks are in place for continued aggressive growth. Especially as that SaaS revenue really starts to kick in, then that would give the company more visibility and more comfort on recurring revenues and putting those out to the market. However, we're very conscious, as are the company. Growth companies, they have to be very careful when they're making market forecasts, as we all know, it's very hard for a company to recover from a profit warning. And albeit, you know, we don't want to be one of those houses that puts out overzealous analyst forecasts. You know, for example, if a company says that they're going to grow by, call it, you know, 80%, but they come in at 65, you know, 11% less, call it 11% less than what they said to the market, that would trigger a profit warning, you know, despite still growing at nearly 70%. So you've got to be very careful. You don't want to make a rod for your back, especially in this market. But I'm sure when the time's right, we'll put more visibility, the company will have more visibility and be able to give more guidance going into 23.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. And something I'm sure listeners will be pleased to hear about in the future, about Crossword Cybersecurity and how they deliver on their plans. So, Neil, thank you very much.
No, you're welcome.
For that. So, Darren, we're now going to be discussing Physiomics, ticker PYC, market cap of 4.1 million. Would you be able to give us an overview of Physiomics, please?
Of course. So Physiomics, very specialist skill set and technology, enables it to deliver a best-in-class biosimulation. And that's particularly in the cancer space, which is where they solely specialize at the moment. And what is unique about their core consultancy modeling is its predictive ability. So it can actually model a drug that has perhaps never been in humans, or maybe only ever been synthesized in the lab, never been in a living creature, and predict with pretty good accuracy what effect that will have on a particular cancer. And this can be solid tumors, or it can be blood cancers. Now, it works with big pharma. Some big pharmas do this sort of thing internally on their own, but also the biotech space, which is, usually has less human capital than the big pharma guys, is another rich seam in which they can find clients. And the core division, which has been the driver of revenue so far in its history, has completed over 80 projects, and this has been a mixture of grant-funded projects, big pharma, academia, including the likes of Oxford University and the Institute of Cancer Research, and, as I mentioned, biotech and mid-cap pharmaceutical companies. Now, it's that's not the only string to its bow. It's actually looking at applying these skills now and taking them out of a research setting into a medical setting through its personalized medicine initiatives. And it had a grant-funded study, and they are now moving this into clinical trials for personalized dosing of chemotherapy for prostate cancer patients for now, although it can be adapted to other indications, and to make sure that they are on the correct dose of chemotherapy, because clearly, chemotherapy, very toxic. You don't want it to, you don't want to have any more of it than you need, but you also want to make sure that you are getting enough to have the right therapeutic effects.
So that's very interesting, something that I want to pick up here on the personalised oncology, and then something that the company highlights. I mean, where does this sit, Darren, within the market, and what else is available to patients out there at the moment?
Yeah, so precision medicine is quite a widely defined but very fast-growing field, and I think it's certainly going to be the future of cancer treatment. It's not one size fits all for cancer treatment. We're all different, different sexes, different sizes, different states of health. We all have different genetic profiles as well. So not everybody will respond to the same drug in the same way, and we've seen this in the likes of immunotherapy, which is an area Physiomics has also done a lot of studies on, that's using the body's own immune system to attack cancer. And in the sort of early generations of those drugs, it's worked very well where it has worked, but it's had quite a low response rate. I think Physiomics is also quite open-minded at looking at other opportunities such as companion diagnostics and software combinations, as well as perhaps AI-enhanced modeling to support R&D and maybe even a participation in further drug development, as it has done with that AMP of Valorix.
Thank you. So just want to touch very quickly on an ongoing study they're doing with Portsmouth Hospitals University NHS Trust. This is obviously, as I said, ongoing. What should investors be looking out for from this study? And is there any indication on when results could be released?
Yes, there was a little bit of a COVID delay, as we've experienced for many clinical trials. But this is really going to look for further validation of their personalized dosing application, and will hopefully show that it's very accurate, that it can improve patient outcomes and get patients on the right dose. And that hopefully will be a trigger for further commercial discussions. They've already got one company over in the States looking at it, but you know, clearly the NHS is the one closer to home that they might hope to get some commercial traction with. And also, by validating it in one type of cancer, it will also perhaps provide the springboard to look at developing the solution further.
So, Darren, I just want to drill down into the numbers. They put out a trading update earlier on this year and said at that point that they had record contracted revenues at that point for the 6 months to June. But since then, they have announced a further contract win. I mean, having already had announced a record contract for the revenue and then in addition, a further contract win, I mean, how significant is this 6 months for Physiomics?
Well, they've already said they had higher contracted revenues than H1, so 460,000. So we're forecasting 17% growth for the current year. But I think, you know, to a certain extent, they are still just scratching the surface. There's a lot of companies interested in developing novel cancer applications that aren't working with Physiomics at the moment. And I think, you know, they've got some really good use cases of how their solution makes the drug discovery process more efficient. So, and with that in mind, you know, they've in the not too distant past have hired their first commercial director. They've also added to the technical team. So I think, it's fair to say they are preparing for further growth.
Thank you. So as I mentioned at the beginning, company has a market cap of 4 million, which, you know, very roughly taking consideration what they've said, you know, in the ballpark of £1 million revenue for the year. So, you know, trading at a, you know, price to sales of four times, given, you know, the momentum that we're seeing in contract wins. I mean, what do you think is sort of holding this stock back at the moment?
I think over the lot, if you look at the share price graph historically, it has, performed relatively well. But I think the market just needs to realize that compared to its international peers, it's actually offering pretty good value. So you have the likes of Schrodinger and Simulations Plus, which I believe are both NASDAQ quoted, and they're both trading at double-digit revenue multiples, even after recent corrections in the tech sector. It's a prudently run company as well. You know, they haven't done a fundraise for quite some time. It's pretty much running at cash break-even at the moment. So I think the downside risk is quite limited as well.
Fantastic. Well, that's great. So thank you very much for being on the podcast to both of you. So just as a recap, the two stocks that we discussed today, first up was Crossword Cybersecurity, which has a ticker of CCS, and just then was Physiomics PLC with a ticker of PYC. Neil and Darren, thank you much for being on the podcast today.
Cheers, Jonathan. Thank you.
So just a note to listeners, do check out the notes to this podcast. There'll be a little bit more information about both those companies there and a bit of a recap of what we just discussed. So thank you very much for listening.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember all investment involves risk.